The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's poppin', everybody? It's episode 260 of the Binge Boys podcast. Wow. 260. Guys, I'm your host, Logan, and with me on the screen in front of me is Matthew.
What's up?
And Tanner.
I was getting to you. I was trying to think of a good response to Matt's what's up, but
dude,
I just got cucked.
It's just all poppin'. That's what's up.
We just do things by the seam of our pants here.
Yep.
It's like we don't even have a rundown. We do.
We do. It's a good one.
We do some prep.
Is that the same seam of your pants?
Flying by the seam of your pants, I think.
I thought it was seat, like your butt.
Oh, wow. I could be very wrong. We're about to Google it.
Yep. Yeah, that would make more sense, though, seam of your pants.
I don't know. I could see seat as well.
It's one of those things that it like makes sense both ways. You Google fly by the seam of your pants and you just get all the results for seat. So I think
it is seat. I think
mm-hmm. I didn't mean to call you out or anything.
I was wrong. I'm really glad that you pointed it out.
Dude, some on-air learning. You love
because,
to see
it. We do. That's personal growth.
Yeah.
And we love personal growth
at the end of the year. No less. It's not even a New Year's resolution.
Wow. Hey, that'd be a great resolution to teach Logan something new every week.
I like that.
Guys, this is what we're doing today. Before I get into the programming notes, this is what today's going to go like. We've got some headlines. However, the headlines this week, there's only a couple, and they are kind of tie in to spoiler talk to Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is we're going to skip the headlines. We're going to go straight into my thoughts on Nightmare Alley because I was able to catch that. However, after Nightmare Alley, it just turns into a Marvel episode. And those are the two headlines were Marvel related. So we're going to just skip those headlines and we're going to go straight into Nightmare Alley. Then we're going to talk about Hawkeye. Then we got a new segment that we hinted at last week that I'm really excited about that Matt prepared. That we kind of took a fan favorite from a podcast that we love mm-hmm. and put a spin on it. And I'm really excited for us to do it. I know Matt's pretty excited too.
Oh yeah.
And then we're going to talk about Spider-Man No Way Home, the thing you're really here for. But hopefully you enjoy the other things, but either way, this is the Binge Boys. Every week we put out two episodes. Every Thursday we have a bonus episode of the show. It's entitled The Run Through. And on those episodes, myself and others, it could be one co-host, it could be a group of people, we just dive into a different movie or TV series, we break it down piece by piece, and give it an in-depth review. Most of the movies on the run-through are throwbacks that, you know, were movies that were released when the Binge Boys didn't exist and we didn't get to talk about it. So it kind of gives us a chance to revisit older movies. Last week, we ran through, in celebration of Spider-Man, we ran through The Amazing Spider-Man duology. This week, we're running through the original Matrix film from 99. So to celebrate, the release of The Matrix 4.
Yep.
So all good things are. And then next week, Tanner and I close out the year talking about Christmas Vacation. Yeah. So a very good year for the run through. This was 2020 was the first year for the run through. Did you know that?
It's no. 2020, the run through started in 2021.
Oh, I'm sorry.
First full year?
I think this was the first full year. I think we started it in 20. maybe it was late 2020.
I think that was the case because I know we chopped up about Black Panther in February.
That's true. You're right. We did. Yeah. Completely wrong there. But yeah, hey, we're having a lot of fun doing the run through. They're a ton of fun. We got great guests doing it with us in 2022. So just stay tuned for that. But every Tuesday, which is when you're listening to this now, Matt and Tanner and I break down the hottest of what's going on today in movies. What we're doing right now. What is the hot stuff right now? So first things first, go to Instagram and Twitter and follow us if you want our updates, if you want our reviews, our top five lists. Sooner or later here, we're going to do some of my personal favorite episodes of the year and lists of the year, is ranking our favorite content from the year, movies and TV series and seasons. And it's just some of my favorite episodes. It's great content too. It's a lot of fun to reflect on the year. So if you want those lists, follow on the socials. If you forget to subscribe, which you shouldn't, because I'm about to tell you right now, go subscribe on whatever platform you listen. But either way, you can see it's essentially the companion. You know, most games, you know, when they came out on the Nintendo Switch, when the Switch launched, it's like, hey, your TV is the main game, but you can look down at the screen on the pad.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's maybe your map, maybe your HUD. It's the companion to the Binge Boys as the social media. So go follow us on there for insight. Trailers get posted there. Posters get posted there. It's a fun way to see what's hot.
Real posters only, minus the Thor 4 one.
Yeah, I could probably go down and delete that.
No, keep
it. Or change the caption at least to say first unofficial poster for Thor 4.
We all were into it until we realized it was fake. I was like, oh no, this is trash.
Hey, that was last week's on-air learning moment.
Yeah, there we go. We started the tradition 2 weeks ago. Didn't even know it.
Let's go. So guys, those are programming notes. Just share with a friend. 2022 is going to be the year for the Binge Boys. We've worked very hard to get it to where it is today. Matt, Tanner, myself, Pearson and Zach, Mitch, everybody who's been a part of the show, Emily and Megan, everything has come together for this. 2022 is the year, man. I know it. So let's talk about content, man.
Content.
I was able to escape the craziness of the holidays creeping up on us. And I was able to go check out Nightmare Alley over the weekend. Nightmare Alley, for those of you who don't know, clocks in around 2 hours and 22 minutes. It's a bit long. It's a rated R flick directed by Guillermo del Toro. It was written by him as well. The film stars Bradley Cooper, Toni Collette, Richard Jenkins, Ron Perlman, Willem Dafoe, Kate Blanchett, and many, many others. Synopsis reads as an ambitious carny with a talent for manipulating people with a few well-chosen words hooks up with a female psychiatrist who is even more dangerous than he is. Listen, so right off the bat, I gave this movie an A-.
Wow.
We said this last week. We've seen so many good movies in the past 2 months that I want to keep saying, like, this might be in my top 10. This might be in my top 10. I don't know at this point.
A might not do it anymore, or an A-.
It might not. And some of those movies that I gave Bs to, I might need to go back and reevaluate because there's a lot. I was looking at the list of movies, guys. It's going to be certified tough to make a top 10 list this year. Mm-hmm. We've seen a lot of good shit, like, even in the first half of the year. Like, I forgot about, like, Luca and some of the greater like animated, like Raya and the Last Dragon I caught. Luca was amazing. Disney movies, dramas, Netflix, HBO. You know, we got a lot of good movies earlier this year.
Yeah.
And this one is no exception, man. So Nightmare on Alley, it's only in theaters. It's a crime thriller drama. So essentially, as the screenplay or as the description says, Bradley Cooper plays a... Tanner's just munching on powdered donuts right now.
Housing them. Dude's put down a baker's dozen. We've only been recorded for 9 minutes.
I have ate an entire bag already.
Oh my God. That's not great.
Dude.
So this is the second best performance I've seen from Willem Dafoe this year. I'll put it that way. But Willem Dafoe's in this movie. He plays a character. Listen, this is a fucked up movie. Yeah. And you could guess that being directed by Del Toro.
Yeah.
This kind of puts a, I don't want to say a realistic, but kind of like a dark take on like carny life, like the corruption that is involved in carnival games and, you know, step right up and have your future told to you or whatever. And it's all based on scam and it's none of it's real.
Right.
And this movie really shows that. Bradley Cooper, I think I told Tanner this the other day, and this might be a bold statement. I heard this in Chris Stuckman's review. If any of y'all who know who Chris Stuckman is, really good YouTube movie reviewer. I think this is the best acting Bradley Cooper's ever done.
Wow.
That's saying a lot because The Star is Born is very good.
American Hustle, that's a great role for him.
Yeah, this is fantastic, man.
Chris Kyle.
Chris Kyle, his role as him is fantastic. Rocket, also a good role for him.
What about The Hangover?
Yeah, we're treading into the wrong territory now.
Yeah.
But dude, the acting in this movie was incredible. That's the standout thing about the movie. Mm-hmm. Willem Dafoe does great. He does the Willem Dafoe thing. Willem Dafoe plays this character that, you know, he runs the, is he a man? Is he a beast? Find out.
Oh, really?
Kind of thing. Show,
kind of.
And his strategy here is to pull up on the side of the road down an alleyway in the city, drug and kidnap a homeless person, starve them, and then put them into a ring and have him tear a live chicken apart for viewership. It's very messed up and very uncomfortable.
Is it like, it's like a period piece? Is it set like in modern day or kind of
nondescript
the past?
It's set in post depression.
Okay.
Or current depression. They do make the movie spans over about 5 years. And it starts in one place. And at the end, I think Kate Blanchett's character says, did you hear we're in war? And she slams a newspaper down. It shows like World War II is going down. So it definitely takes place back in the day, but man, it's real fucked up and, but it's just very well done. I feel like there's two different movies here though. Like, okay. Mm-hmm. So let me break it down for you. First half of the movie is Bradley Cooper finding this carnival, getting the people to trust him, getting his position as this manipulator, psychic kind of character. And then the second half of the movie is like a romantic drama because he gets to this. I'm going spoilers if you guys don't care.
Go for it.
But he falls in love with this other carny and she puts on this act where she sits in a fake electric chair and gets, you know, all this electricity run through her body. How does she survive? He tells her that they could conquer the world and perform all over the world and make all the money and sell out shows. And that's the second half of the movie is kind of the decline of their relationship and the decline of Bradley Cooper's character. Cause listen, he starts this movie as this pure guy that's just looking to make a buck. Like he got laid off during the depression. He's just trying to make money to have a stable living. And you really empathize with him. However, towards the end of the movie, he turns into the villain of the movie. He's that classic Harvey Dent quote, you either die young enough, you know, die to see hero. Yourself not become. Yeah, exactly. And he gets taught this lesson from his mentor in the movie. And he says, don't become the thing that, or you can't start to believe that what you scam people on that you can actually do. Like he starts to think that towards the end of the movie that he's actually psychic and he can see people's past and future and present and it ends in his downfall. And the movie was very good. It was a touch too long. I think there were a couple moments where I looked at my watch and thought, man, I still got an hour left. Complete opposite from the other movie we'll talk about, which it felt like 2.5 hours blew by in 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that's why it got the A-. Honestly, everything was great about the movie. Every actor did their damn best, but also Ron Perlman, oddly, very good in this.
Was he done up in prosthetics? I feel like he's always does really well when he's got that. Maybe
he wasn't in the Hellboy.
Yeah.
He played the world's strongest man type thing. So very Ron Perlman-esque role there.
Could smoke cigars and whatever.
Cigar was in his mouth in every scene.
There we go.
Looks like he could play the live action like Donkey Kong if they ever made one.
He just has to fight Seth Rogen for it.
Forgot about that. but yeah, very good, man. I have a horrible feeling that the movie's gonna make no money opening up against a Marvel movie, and the marketing wasn't very strong for this, so I have a horrible feeling. As we transition to the next segment, I'm gonna pull up like the box office.
Yeah, I just got one question. Did you get any kind of like awards vibes from it? Because I know at least Shape of Water, that got some awards buzz.
That's a really good question. I'm really glad you mentioned that, because I wanted to say that, I don't know if it's going to get a Best Picture nomination, but I could definitely see Bradley Cooper being nominated for Best Actor.
Oh, okay.
I think he did his absolute best. And Bradley Cooper's a damn good actor, probably one of the best living ones right now.
Sure.
But he did something new this time around, and I was impressed, very much so.
It does sound like it, from what you were saying, it has shades of his character arc from A Star Is Born, but just because that's kind of a very common, from a certain level, a very common arc for a movie like these two. So I'm not critiquing that. I just noticed that was a similarity.
No, not at all. Yeah, it did. I mean, Kate Blanchett too. She did fantastic in the role. I don't know if she's going to get Best Supporting Actress, because Kate Blanchett, or I'm sorry, Best Actress. But it's not like she did anything wrong. I just don't think she did anything like standout. She just did the Kate Blanchett thing. She showed up. She looked very serious.
Yeah.
And she left. So I don't know. We'll see when award season comes along. I can see this getting attention, mainly because most of the award season movies are movies that nobody's ever heard of. Yeah. And I feel like this is a movie that, I mean, over the weekend, I told my parents, your parents, Tanner, and grandma and grandpa, because they're big moviegoers too. And I said, Nightmare Alley. And everyone was like, what? What movie is that? Because the marketing was either very little or, I mean, unfortunately, it opened up against Spider-Man. But hey, Del Toro knew what he was doing. I will say before we move on that Del Toro, before the movie started, it was a clip of him in a chair looking at the camera, basically like thanking people that are going to the movies. That Hollywood, I mean, say what you want about how much they're paid and whatnot, but he said that, you know, we took a huge loss this last year. We've never seen anything like it, and we're really appreciative that people like you are going to the movies. And I thought that was really cool.
Sure.
Nightmare Alley, man. Theaters, I give it an A-. I think it's one of the better movies of the year. It's going to be tough. I think it'll probably land around like 8 or 7 slot of the year. I think it's a pretty damn good movie. I would compare the vibe. No, I don't know if either of you saw this, and I don't even remember the damn title. Bad Times at the El Royale.
That's a great movie.
Okay, it gives off major vibes of that, Tanner. Just very like eerie drama, great cast, just something different. It's just something different. Would definitely recommend you looking into that one, Matt. That's sure. A good one. It's I don't think it did a great performance with like critics, but like very entertaining movie, cast.
Cool.
So yeah, that's Nightmare Alley, and I guess we can, you know, we'll talk Hawkeye and Spider-Man No Way Home back to back, Matt. If you want to If you want to, let's get this new Seggy going.
All right. Yeah, I'll walk it in. So as we talk about a lot in this show, a lot of Marvel stuff, there's some stuff that's, you know, we're still sort of in the MCU. We're still dealing with like a lot of the mainstream, a lot of the household names. But comics have been around for a long time and they would put out issues just constantly for a clip there. And you can only do so many with like certain characters. So there are just some very ridiculous comic book characters out there. But since we talk mostly Marvel, we decided to start with Marvel characters. So how it's going to go is there is a list of Marvel characters and a one sentence descriptor of them, and it is up to my co-host Logan and Tanner to decide whether what I told them is a real Marvel character that has, you know, exists in the comics or whatever, or if it is me attempting to fool them with something so ridiculous it has to be real.
I love it. I'm so excited for this.
This is good. Okay, so I'll read it and give the one sentence descriptor, and then please don't ask me any questions about it, because that'll give it away when I like stutter or answer definitively.
Okay.
All right. So the first one, Man Spider, a villain who has the head of a man and the body of a spider.
You think it's fake?
Yeah, fake. Can't fool me, Matt.
Okay. I'm not asking you a question about the character. I'm just kind of like how you structured this. Did you structure it in a way that like, could Man Spider be real, but you're just switching the details? Like, instead of the face of a human and the body of a spider, could Man Spider be real, but it's the head of a spider, but body of a man? You know what I mean?
I did not do that intentionally. Okay. Comics are deep, so I very well could have accidentally done that.
Okay. I'm going to guess, just because Tanner said fake, I'm going to go real.
That is a fake Marvel character.
Well, you know.
I'll give Tanner a point there.
Okay, cool.
All right. So next we have Confetti, an X-Men who can create balloons, small explosions, and confetti out of nowhere.
That's real.
I'm going to go fake only because that sounds suspiciously like Polka Dot Man from Suicide Squad. And I feel like you could have taken some inspiration there.
Confetti is a fake Marvel character. So we are tied 1-1.
This is fun. I love this.
We have, rolling right along, we have Hell Cow. A cow who was bitten by Dracula.
That's real.
It's so fake that it's got to be real.
Hell Cow is a real Marvel character. And that's, if you awesome. Can imagine, a lot of his interactions were with Deadpool. So,
nice.
Looking at a picture of Hell Cow right now, and he looks just like you think he does.
It is just literally a cow that walks upright with a cape on.
Literally looks like a Doctor Strange cape on a bull.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, that's so stupid.
This is awesome. All right.
I can't give up with that.
Next, we've got Scrooge, a villain who plotted to kill the most powerful mutant on Earth, Santa Claus.
That's real too.
I only want to. This could be real.
Are you saying real?
Oh. Yeah, I'm going to go real.
Scrooge is a fake Marvel character, but it is true that Santa Claus is the most powerful mutant on Earth in the Marvel canon.
What?
So I guess that's some. I guess I might have lied to you with your clarifying question there, Logan.
No, it's okay.
But so yeah,
still tied.
Hell Cow is in Marvel Lego Marvel Superheroes 2, Tanner.
Oh, really?
I'm looking at him right now.
I have it. I want to play it now. I want to play as Hell Cow.
Next we have Dr. Bong. Dr. Bong.
That's what I thought you said.
A geneticist who can transform animals.
Dr. Bong, B-O-N-G?
Yes.
So he doesn't smoke weed?
Maybe.
Well, he's an idiot. If his name's Dr. Bong, he's got to be.
That's, would you say?
I said if he's not.
If real he's or fake, Bong, though?
He has to, huh?
Real or fake, though?
I'm going. I'm going fake.
Dr. Bong is a real Marvel character.
You can't. Is he in Lego Marvel Superheroes too?
No, that has the word bong in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Not putting him in a
kids game.
Next we have Triathlon, who is a disgraced track star given occult powers of strength, speed, and stamina.
Real.
What was his name one more time?
Triathlon. As in the Olympic event consisting of three legs.
I'm going real.
Triathlon is a real Marvel character.
I'm looking at a picture of Dr. Bong right now. And honestly, he's kind of tight.
He's kind of cool. That's why he's kind of cool. Him in.
Like, he looks like Thanos meets
definitely a stone.
He literally looks like he has a bell on his head.
Yeah, hey, sort of Mysterio vibes.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, okay.
All right, next we have Maytag, a hero who controls water, but only inside of washing machines. He was an Avenger in a sponsored issue.
That's a fake.
This is so oddly specific that it's got to be fake.
It's fake, yeah. I just was like doing laundry. I was like, I could do something like with this. And I had to just added in too many elements.
I knew it.
I wouldn't be good at this. I would be like Ring Light, a hero who casts light upon people in need or some shit like that.
All right. This next one I'm going to say and then spell it out.
Okay.
Ice Cream, E-Y-E hyphen S-C-R-E-A-M. An X-Men who can transform into any ice cream flavor.
The comics are so crazy that this has to be real.
It is. Ice Cream is a real Marvel character, which is just absurd.
You got to think that guy got snapped.
For real. He's not stopping Thanos. I know that much.
Nah, man. In fact, I want to see all of these characters that you name go up against Thanos.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, someone else on that team is Silverclaw, the daughter of a volcano god adopted by an Avengers adjacent character.
It's real.
One more time.
Silverclaw, who is the daughter of a volcano god adopted by an Avengers adjacent character.
Tanner, what'd you say?
He said real.
I'm going real too.
Silverclaw is a real character. It was adopted by Jarvis when he was a butler, not an AI, which is just
it's just weird.
It's just weird. I just don't know why you need the daughter of a volcano god. I don't know, maybe you didn't get a choice in the matter, but All right. And then we got the last one here. Logan, you can hope to tie if you fade Tanner correctly.
Okay.
We have Graham Bell, a villain created by a scorned phone company employee.
That's fake.
That's really good if it's fake. I'm going to do... Oh, God. I'm going real.
Graham Bell is a fake Marvel character. Tanner with the definitive victory, 7-5. That's still pretty good. I think I had 9 or 10, so 70% and 50% way to sniff out my bullshit or guess correctly on the absurdity of Marvel comics is pretty good.
I got a C-.
Yeah.
That's really good. I really like that. We should do that every once in a while and maybe switch it around maybe I could come through with real or fake DC characters.
Yeah, yeah.
Tanner could come through with like I think you said it last week, Matt, another good idea is like real or fake storylines.
Yeah, yeah.
That are just like so wild that it makes us have to guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. I like it.
I like that.
There's also definitely a whole segment in just like sponsored villains or sponsored characters. Like, you know those like little candy pretzel things, combos?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. There was Combo Man, who was yeah, literally like 9 different heroes. Like, it was like the shins of Wolverine, like the belt of like, just, it was crazy.
Wolverine.
I hate all of this.
Who is Wolverine?
I thought you said shins of Wolverine. I know who yeah. that is.
Right, yeah, because it's like different like cross sections going up are like the different characters. So it's like Spider-Man's cool. like, you know, forehead to below his nose.
I don't know if I'd be
too much for me.
I'd be like Binge a Cup.
Binge a Cup, that's you.
Binge Boys Cups, get it?
Yeah.
Get it?
Binge I, get it. I'm going to have to send. We're going to have to put Combo Man in the image for this episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You guys like my socks, by the way?
Sam.
I can't
You're wearing the same socks from yesterday, Tanner.
I have different pair.
Oh, okay.
They're the same socks.
You got out of it. Why did you walk it back?
Yeah, you couldn't have.
Because I'm a truther.
Rick, okay, this is good. Oh, my God. This is great. Yeah, he's got, like, Silver Surfer feet. He's got Captain America, like, lower chest. He's got the Human Torch, like, knees. This is bad. Magneto's
shoulders.
That's good.
I love the that. Hulk, Cyclops, Iron Man head.
He's got. You got to think that's complicated.
Yeah.
Like, does that Hulk portion of his head Hulk out every once in a while?
That's like part of the issue with the character. It's like, I mean, the Punisher is great, but like, that's just the dude. Do you really want that over your heart? It's like, no, give me the Iron Man over the heart.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Anyway.
All right. Hawkeye,
mm-hmm.
episode 5. Forgot that happened.
So did I.
Honestly. Because we did this.
Yeah.
We did this. We said this for Loki. I'm pretty sure we've said it with all the shows so far. I think we all probably watch them either the day they come out or the day after. A week goes by and then it's like, oh my God, I almost forgot.
This was a big episode though.
It was big. Certified the king episode.
All leading up to the end though.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it's just...
You still think it's whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were telling me on the way to Spider-Man that you're just meh on the show right now.
I mean, I like it. Like, I'm entertained when I watch it, so I guess that's... What else am I going to say? It's just, I'm not like, I can't wait to watch it, you know what I mean? But now I am, but...
Yeah. See, I've been this way since the beginning, man. I've loved this show from the get-go.
Really?
I think this was definitely the episode that, like, took it from, like, a strong like to, like... a low love of this show. Like, it's definitely more closer to an A. The scene between Yelena and Katie, I thought that was really strong. That really sold. That got rid of a lot of, not like my issues, but like gave like, okay, Hailee Steinfeld can do this. She crushed it.
Oh yeah. So episode 5 is entitled Ronin.
Mm-hmm.
And this episode essentially takes place over the course of, you know, another day. I mean, the show just keeps getting closer and closer. I'm going to assume that the finale takes place on like Christmas Eve, the big spectacle of Christmas Eve. And you know, the show's just been leading up till Christmas.
Just like how literally in real life, I love it. Okay.
Yeah. Christmas is this week. So it's just perfect.
It's been nice.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, and this week's the finale. Isn't that crazy? These six episode seasons are throwing me off.
They are
a little,
and I would like we always say with these shows, we're just worried about like that there's too many loose ends to tie up. But I think the last image of this episode does a lot of that work for us.
Yeah, I mean, we could answer a few questions with, like, okay, so her mom is evil in some way. She's working with or for Kingpin.
Yep.
Kingpin is the villain that we've been thinking about and hinting at this whole time.
Duquesne is tied to it, so it could be less of a romantic relationship and more of a power play kind of situation.
She called the cops on him, didn't she?
I think that was calculated. But by her,
yeah.
Yeah, by her or Kingpin or both of them together with Jack.
Maybe he didn't with Jack. Okay, because he acted pretty... Yeah, you're right, because he probably would have known.
Yes, I mean, he all like that's something about him. He's never... It never feels like he's in a position of like uncertainty. He always knows where he's like supposed to be at.
Good point.
Here's another one. I don't know if I necessarily have this question answered yet. Is Jack the stepfather? Is he a villain or is he still a hero or was he framed? What's going on here with him? I still don't know what to think about him.
With Jack?
That's his name, right? The stepdad?
Yeah, Duquesne.
I follow what you said, Matt.
Yeah.
This is all calculated. It's all part of the game.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just not 100% sure on it yet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... I think that that's like the easiest explanation, and that's the one I could see going with to just kind of set the, set another stage, a new power broker, a new... Whoever that all these... series seem to kind of have.
Yeah, the mysterious person, the mysterious figure. And who knows, hell, Kingpin could be reporting to Jack. Like Jack could be this villain that is bigger than Kingpin. I doubt it.
I would hate that.
I think I've heard a lot of rumors that Kingpin is helping Julie Louis-Dreyfus assemble the Dark Avengers or something like that. I've heard that.
Oh my God, we're going to see him act.
Yeah, we're going to see him. I'm predicting opening scene of this episode is Kingpin.
I agree.
And I'm going to make a bold statement here. And going back to what you said, Matt, about tying up loose ends, I did see on Twitter that this episode is a full 59 minutes. Like it's the longest episode of any MCU Disney Plus episode yet. So they definitely have packed it ton into this last episode, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I like that a lot. I feel like I kind of stepped on what you were saying. No. Do we want to check back in on, I'm not thinking of her name, but Hawkeye's wife, still all on the up and up? Or because that conversation was supportive, which is good. Of like her understanding that, he has to do what he has to do, but was it too supportive with sort of all the other pieces that we've kind of, I feel like we've touched on at least last week and maybe even the week before.
Yeah. I honestly hadn't thought about that until you just brought it up. I don't know. I think at same thing with Jack, I think it could go either way at this point. And either way isn't going to make or break the show for me.
I agree.
I'm going to make a bold prediction here, and we'll get to this. Well, I guess I can't say this yet, but I think we're going to, well, I guess I can, if I put it correctly. I think we're going to see a familiar person next episode that isn't Kingpin, but has fought Kingpin. I think we're going to see him.
Okay. I think.
I think we're going to see, I think we're going to see him. I don't think he's going to do much. I think he's just going to be a hint.
Present. Or
he's going to be a present. Yeah, but I don't think we're going to see a full-blown. And no, if you're listening, I'm not talking about Spider-Man. I think we're going to see him possibly. Or at least hear him mention him or something. I don't know.
Well, let's revisit this conversation during the spoiler discussion of No Way Home, because I think there's some meat on this bone that that would be worth talking about.
Needs to be chewed off.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. another bold prediction. Sorry, I didn't want to cut you off.
No, go for it. I want to hear his predictions.
And this is supported by zero evidence. Mm-hmm. This is just what I think they could do. I think there's a bold chance that Clint dies.
I think it's possible.
Me too.
I don't think it's likely, though. I think this has not felt like the arc of someone who's about to be taken away from us, you know?
Sure. That makes sense.
I think if he was with his family more and had shown that, like, this part of his life was more truly behind him. And I mean, I guess this is kind of like one last ride. So maybe.
But I can picture like Kate showing up to Christmas and like handing Lori like his bow or something.
Yeah.
Or I can see that play out, but I think it'd be pretty dark of Marvel/Disney to like take these kids' dad away from them on Christmas Day. Like,
that's true.
That's really dark. I mean, then again, No Way Home was dark in its own ways. I mean, we saw some, and we'll talk about this.
Sure.
Like the violence was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Especially on Tom's part, but but I think that there's a remote chance that Clint could die. However, I don't know if they're going to ride that train, because I have a feeling that Clint and Yelena are going to make up.
Yeah, I think so.
And then they would kill him off, and for what? Or I don't know.
Right.
It could happen, but I think just same thing with his wife, same thing with Jack. Either one could happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm not ready to give Kate the reign of Hawkeye yet, personally. Yeah.
I think what I think is a safer bet is that Clint is done getting into the mix himself after this series.
I could see him almost acting as not the Nick Fury, but for like the new young Avengers that they're going to start assembling over the next few years, like Kate, Yelena, potentially Miles Morales, like these next wave of Avengers. I could see Clint almost being like the Nick Fury or Robert Downey Jr., like kind of in the background, there for support if he's needed, but or maybe just like a trainer, like somebody who trains them and
how to throw coins.
Yeah, exactly. But other than that, I don't know about Clint. Matt, I want to ask you, because I know you, just like me, are a huge fan of Florence Pugh.
Yeah.
I can't believe we haven't even touched on the interaction between her and Kate yet. What were your thoughts watching that scene?
It was great. Just in control of like the whole scene. I really liked her getting the cold open. And I feel like that's a perspective on the snap that we haven't seen. Just like the experience of, you know, like she said, I was gone 5 seconds and 5 years of my life is gone.
Yeah. I think it's really cool that, because part of me wants to be annoyed, like, we get it, the snap happened, but like I think they're still trying to tell us like, hey, this ruined people's lives,
right? Like, we got it sort of like on the macro sense with a lot of the stuff that was happening in Falcon and Winter Soldier, just with like the people in like their new homes or whatever that didn't want to be like kicked out of them because, you know, it's a shit situation. And then down to like this micro scale. With it. And we even got that back in WandaVision with, what was her name?
Monica?
Yes, she got snapped away and her mom died while snapped. But it's like another sort of like micro story. But yeah, I agree. It's like we get it and like we'll have to move on. But I think like that's the good thing about the MCU is that it all connects and it doesn't take those kind of things for granted.
Sure.
Because it would be such a huge impact on the world, and they're treating it like with the gravity that it needs.
Tanner, do you have any wild or bold thoughts about the finale? Where do you want to see it leave Clint/Kate/Kingpin? Like, we know Kingpin's in the show now. Like, to what extent is there going to be a fight between Clint, Kate, and Kingpin? Like, how is this going to happen?
I think Kingpin will have people doing the fighting for him.
He can throw down, though.
He sure can throw down. He can throw Spider-Man down a building.
Throw that weight around, yeah.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I think he's going to Bane Clint, actually.
He's going to what?
He's going to Bane him, like yeah. Bane does to Batman.
He's going to bring his back.
Yeah.
I thought you said he was going to bang him. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That's not the show we're getting.
Not yet, at least.
That's on a different site.
Yeah.
Disney Hub.
Moving past that comment.
Well, I think we're going to see the wife fight for some reason. I think Kingpin will send somebody towards.
Oh, that's a good thought.
Yeah.
Would it be the wife or would it be the daughter? Because both. that was in one of the scenes.
I just think
where she was like showing her how to use the bow, right?
I think so. But I just think he met her somewhere where she has already. I mean, all he does is work. So how the fuck did he have time to go to a bar and meet her? Like, nah. He met her at work because she's an agent.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. She damn well could be a, you know,
that's why she's such a cold-hearted bastard when she's like, go do what you gotta do.
Yeah. Instead of like the come home, honey, it's Christmas.
Oh, wait, you can't do that. Yeah.
Well, like, I feel like you're giving her no option. She's cold-hearted if she gives him this support, but if she tells him to come home, you're telling she's a nag. So
true.
Give her a chance to win, Tanner.
I'm sorry, that's not what I meant.
Tanner hates to see a girl boss winning.
Yes, we do. Mark, this show's got freaking Yelena. I could stay. Honestly, I could stay and talk about that episode for a lot longer. But
yeah, we got big things.
We do. But yeah, I think we're all excited for the finale here. A lot of potential, and we'll dive into it here in a second with Spider-Man. But there's some potential tie in there, especially with the ending of No Way Home. Taking place around Christmas. I think there's some potential there for Hawkeye. I don't know how, but you know, Marvel does it. It's no coincidence that Hawkeye's finale comes out the week after Spider-Man.
Yep.
I got one more theory. Oh no, okay, I can't say it until.
Okay. We'll couch it. So we're talking spoilers.
Table that.
One last thing. How does, instead of Florence Pugh, how does Florence Smith sound like when I marry her?
Oh, I don't know if she's gonna. Also, most actresses keep their last name, so I think you're out of luck there, friend.
Well, she's taking mine.
She's actually gonna hyphenate, so she'll be FPS.
Oh, I love that, but I also hate it.
She loved it.
Well, fam, it is time to talk about Spider-Man No Way Home. Spider-Man No Way Home. Is directed by John Watts, starring Tom Holland, Zendaya, Benedict Cumberbatch, Jacob Batalon, John Favreau, Jamie Foxx, Willem Dafoe, Alfred Molina, Benedict Wong, Marissa Tomei, and that's it. this movie reads as, with Spider-Man's identity now revealed to the universe, Peter asks Doctor Strange for help. When a spell goes wrong, the dangerous foes from other worlds start to appear, forcing Peter to discover what it truly means to be Spider-Man. The movie clocks in right at about 2 hours and 28 minutes. It's rated PG-13 and it's exclusively in theaters. First off, spoilers right off, non-spoilers right off the top. Just general, we'll blow through this in like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I'll just give you a minute, Tanner. Non-spoiler, what were your general thoughts of the movie?
It was fantastic. Fast, didn't feel like 2.5 hours. Heartfelt, cry, happy, cry, tears of joy. So many little emotions. That's it. It's incredible. I loved it. It was everything I wanted it to be.
Okay. Matt?
Yeah, I thought it was really strong. I do think there were parts of it that showed its 2.5 hour runtime, but not enough to make it into a bad movie. I still give it a straight A. I think some characters could have been used a little bit better, but you know, I'm not gonna kick it out of bed for that.
I agree. Yeah,
an A movie. What about you, Logan? Bring us home with our non-spoiler generic talk.
Same thing. I thought it was a very strong movie. Definitely one of the favorites of the year, if not maybe the favorite. I mean, I don't want it to be the number one on all of our lists, but it's got potential to be that.
Sorry.
Thanks for being upfront about it, Tanner.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thanks for spoiling your top list, but it was no spoiler.
Everybody knew that, right?
Yeah, I loved it, man. There were some things I think didn't work very well, and I can't wait to talk about them with you, Matt, because I know me and Tanner have talked about it a lot, but
yeah.
I'm excited to hear where your takes on what characters could have been used differently, because I have a feeling we might think similarly there. Because me and Tanner both saw it twice.
Oh, okay.
So
booyah.
The things that I did not like, I noticed less the second time around. However, I still felt them afterwards.
Okay.
So if your feelings are the same as mine, then they're still there.
Sure.
But, I mean, hey. Now we can talk spoilers. So this movie stars Tom Holland, Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire.
We didn't warn anybody to get the fuck out.
I just did. I said spoiler time.
2 seconds later, they're like, what if they couldn't open their phone? They're screwed.
They've seen it on the internet.
There are people that are able to prefer to and listen to podcasts, but also don't go on avoided social media enough to not have that part spoiled.
Well, I just ruined it for them.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
However, I will defend myself and say we've talked about this rumor for a year and a half.
It's been my whole time on this show.
Exactly.
Literally, my whole time on this show has been talking about what this movie's going to look like. So that's another part of it, why it might only just be an A. 18 months of hype, that's never a good sign.
It's true. And
everything we predicted happened.
Yeah.
For the most part. I did think we were going to see Venom a little more than what we did, but we didn't. And that's actually one of my gripes, not the fact that we didn't see him. Let's start here.
Sure.
Let's start with our gripes.
Okay.
Because I feel like our praises are going to go on. If we want to just rotate off one by one, a gripe. I think that Jamie Foxx tried a little too hard. I also think that the character he played in this movie was not the character he played in The Amazing Spider-Man.
I agree.
In The Amazing Spider-Man, he was this like
dork.
Nobody likes me. I'm a wimp. I cowered back when people criticize me. However, he gets into this universe and he's like, make it home here. I love this power. This place is cool. I like this place. I'm just like, you are not playing the same character that you played before, but I think they're trying to maybe retcon a lot of that stuff.
I think so.
I get that, but just the inconsistency annoyed me there. Tanner, a flaw in your mind?
Other than, I guess the lizard and... what was the point? I think they could have saved some screen time by which I wanted to see more Goblin because this is not the praise part, but I'm going to do it. Goblin was, but I don't think there was really a reason to have those. Like, honestly, like Logan's probably going to say it. Sandman too. But just didn't do much with him, you know?
Yeah.
But
a little, they're just kind of to have him there. Like he was
especially Lizard.
Yeah.
We already cut to him captured, like no big fight scene. No nothing.
Right. Yeah. That was kind of pointless. I didn't even think about it that way.
He gets ass kicked once by Garfield and that's it.
Yeah.
Then he tries to chase the kids.
My gripe is that I felt like the chemistry between the three Spider-Men was a little off or forced. I didn't think it was bad, but I didn't think it was helped because you could tell that they were filmed at three different times and or locations and then edited together.
I feel that especially when they initially meet, like those fight scenes in the end, I have a feeling they were together. However, Toby and Andrew meeting for the first time, that was clearly filmed in two separate occasions.
Yeah.
They never showed them together in the same frame. It was cut back, cut back, cut back, cut
or back. Like someone's backs to the camera, yep. Something. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that could have been the pandemic or just them being having other schedules. But I thought that that was it softened the blow of this incredible, you know, cross-dimensional team up that we've been waiting for.
I'll go ahead and say it. My next complaint kind of goes with Tanner's comment about Lizard and Sandman. I don't think Thomas Hayden Church was in this movie. I think he voice acted because he sounded like Thomas Hayden Church, but he did sound quite older. Like his voice was deeper and a little more like it felt like he had like something in his throat, like his throat wasn't cleared.
Gravelly, if you will, which is like sand.
Yes, I love it. And it could have been another COVID thing, like one less body on set. Like, let's screw it. Let's just CGI him and just have him voiced. Because, Matt, I don't know if you caught it, but that scene where Toby cures him and he turns back into a human, they ripped that shot straight out of Spider-Man 3.
I thought it looked too identical.
It's not like they didn't even try to hide the fact. For people listening, if you can't picture the scene where Toby, black suit Spider-Man, beats the shit out of him in the sewer, throws him down in the water, and he looks at his hand, and his hand starts dissolving. They took the same shot but reversed it and made it so that his instead of water decomposing his body, the sand was going away and his hand was reappearing. Mm-hmm. That was ripped straight from Spider-Man 3. I even got home and turned that movie on. I was like, that's the exact same scene.
People who like it will call it an homage, not a rip.
Same thing with Lizard when he got cured. Same thing. They just took the same shot and put him in a different movie. Mm-hmm. Which is impressive that they still had the files, but I don't work at a film studio, so I don't know this, but like, do they just keep the files on hand forever?
I think you would have to. And I think that that's like a lot of the work with like those early Pixar and why there's all those like reused assets between movies.
That makes sense.
It just that takes forever to make, you know, the Pizza Planet truck, so they'll put it in every movie that they can, just as call it an Easter egg when it's really just laziness.
Yeah. So that's how it came off to me personally, was just I feel like Sandman and Lizard were like the cousins at the family reunion that you're not super excited to see, see them and you're like, oh, they were there, they were cool.
Their parents live across the country, so you see them like once a year if you're lucky.
Yeah. I did think that Sandman, it was cool that he wasn't necessarily evil, but because towards the beginning he was like, hey, I just want
to go home. Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to go home and see my daughter. I mean, we settled our differences. I killed Uncle Ben. You forgave me. You know, that's how this works. But then again, his motivations towards the end, like I'm villain now because they were trying to cure me, and Willem Dafoe said this is a gift and not a curse. And I don't know, just the Sandman and Lizard thing were just not trash, but just kind of underutilized, kind of lazy. Yeah. But it could have been a COVID comment, Tanner.
Sandman just wanted to get the box so he could send himself home.
That's true.
That's true.
Yes.
That was
interjection.
He could have fought the villains with Spider-Man and helped him take them down and then use the box to get home.
Good point. But I think he thought the easier idea would just go to Slither and get it.
Do it himself, yeah.
Yeah.
Extreme Thanos voice, fine. I guess I'll do it myself.
Immediately the first thought that popped into my head.
Yeah. I guess this isn't like I guess we're kind of just doing more of a general discussion and not our round table of griping. I guess I was a little unclear about how like solving the villain's issues or, you know, curing them or whatever you want to call it prevents them from dying if they're kind of just put back in their universe, like the moment before they die or whatever.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Matt, because that's one of the questions I wrote down. Said, if the villains are cured and sent back to their universe, are they just put back right before they died? So, like, is Alfred Molina going to drown, like, with a smile on his face now?
Instead of that, like, fate, like, we see exactly, we see him, his dead body. Spoiler alert for Spider-Man 2. But.
Yeah, like, wouldn't they still die? Or is it going to put them back? Or is it going to be like a time stone thing where if you put them back in their universe with their fate changed, are they going to just not? Is it basically retconning Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield's movies?
Right. I mean, there's also the thing where we don't know exactly like what moment they came from, except for specifically like Jamie Foxx, like saying like, oh, this is like when I, you know, got here or whatever. So like, but yeah, he like died. And I guess like whenever you have like magic and interdimensional travel, it's, you know, you have to give it some level of grace or whatever. And just because, you know, the people had these issues, and it was the responsible thing to do to help them and cure them. I mean, I think it still works with like a story standpoint, but I think whenever you have this much magic, you're just going to have plot holes as a bug and a feature.
There's only one clear plot hole that I caught here besides the villains being sent back to their universe. Jamie Foxx. So let me pose this question to you and make sure I'm understanding this correctly. How did Electro get pulled into the MCU when the parameters of the spell are said that everybody that gets pulled in here knows Peter Parker is Spider-Man, because Electro has no idea that Peter Parker is Spider-Man in that movie? I mean, he has zero clue that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
I don't think we're supposed to ask this many questions.
And Matt,
I think
Matt
they're fair questions.
It.
Yeah,
Matt said it. With a movie like this, I think we're supposed to not ask these questions. We're supposed to shut up and take the fan service that we got, that we've been theorizing for 2 years, a year and a half. But like, come on. They literally explicitly say, and even in the end, when Andrew meets Max, he says, I had no idea you were such a kid under there. Like, they acknowledged the plot hole in the ending of the movie.
I didn't think about that. That's crazy. But that line was in service of Miles Morales fan service.
True.
So.
True. And great fan service that was.
Yeah.
Can I pose these other questions to you? And these other questions are going to. Maybe these are all plot holes.
If it's just gonna make Tanner mad, we don't have to do it.
You are. No,
I want to know your thoughts, Tanner. I'm gonna pose them fast though, and this isn't a plot hole. I'm just curious on this one. So the spell again says that once he, you know, does the spell, everybody in the world is gonna forget that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. Does that mean the Guardians of the Galaxy and Captain Marvel and Thor aren't going to forget he's Spider-Man? Because if it was only casted on Earth, right, then if they're off world, aren't they going to come back and be like, yeah, that kid's Tom Holland or that kid's Peter Parker?
If it right? had the range to go across the multiverse, I would assume it has the range to get through the entire whatever universe number that they're in.
So I'm wondering then, if it went across the multiverse, does that mean people in Andrew and Toby's universes respectively also forgot that he's Peter Parker?
I don't think so.
Or do you think it was specific, like, you, Peter Parker, this are the Earth, only, this Earth 616 or whatever it is, is going to forget that you're Peter Parker?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I also had a question on that ending there.
Okay.
Tanner, in the spirit of it, I will say I am willing to accept any answer because it's a magic spell and an awesome movie. So he has that when he moves into his, you know, the Spider-Man classic shit apartment, and he has like his GED study book. That kind of implies like all paperwork associated with him also got like,
I thought of that too,
burned up and shredded. So like. Come on, Dr. Strange, lend him a bone. Like, at least let him keep like his high school like graduation.
That's good. Oh, I did catch that the first time I watched, and I was like, GED? He graduated from high school already. He's going to college.
But I think he just made it so that, like, you know, it's like Peter Parker never existed.
Which is crazy because, and this isn't, you can take this as a plot hole, but this is just a question. With Peter meeting Happy at Aunt May's grave and him looking at Peter and saying, how'd you know her? How the hell does he not know who he is? Because I thought the spell said that people forgot Peter Parker is Spider-Man, not necessarily that the world forgot who Peter Parker is, period.
Correct.
Yeah. Really?
Because I think that's what he had to do, because he, like, you know, he had to go, it had to be more extreme, like, of a spell to stop everyone from invading. Or else
MJ would have known him, because he's from their school.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that makes sense. Another question.
It's sad, though. It's really sad.
Yeah. Big sad. Like, somebody put this perfectly on Twitter. This Spider-Man trilogy served as Tom Holland's origin story.
Yeah, I thought that was so clever.
It's true, because they want to they want to make six more. They want to make him in college and then him in his adult. That's what they want to do.
And I think they took the long way to get there, but I think it was really smart. And I think that this was a great, it's fixed the too many villains, third movie, whatever you want to call it, problem that they've had with Spider-Man by kind of tackling it head on and not, you know, that this was a moment of him growing up and not just sort of another bump in the road, like they always seem to try to treat it.
Yeah, he's becoming Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Another question. When Doctor Strange straight knocked Peter out of Spider-Man's body, how did he have the power to pull himself back in, and how did he have the power to still control his body?
It's unexplained.
It's magic. Force of will.
I didn't miss shit. Yeah. No, I didn't miss anything there.
He's gonna
If it was Ned, though, he would have been able to do it.
That's perfect transition, because how the hell does Ned have Doctor Strange powers? Is it because he was wearing the ring?
I think the ring and just, like, the, you know, force. I feel like I've been talking a lot. Tanner, you go.
No, you're good. You got to know how to. It took Doctor Strange forever to fucking to figure it out, you know.
And
so Ned actually did it.
And he did sprinkle it in a few times in the movie, saying, like, my Nana says that magic runs in our family. And I thought, like, the second time around, I was like, okay, so they sprinkle that in early on. So it's not a complete surprise that Ned can just open portals to other dimensions.
Right.
And he's like, every once in a while, I feel tingling sensations. Like, are they setting Ned up to be something bigger than... I think Ned's going to become Hobgoblin in future movies.
Like, is that real? Is that the character name of Hobgoblin?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going that route. I think they're going sorcerer route.
Actual magic Hobgoblin. I like that.
Ooh, a magical Yeah. I think they could. I don't know if they will. He's going to MIT. He's going to be an engineer. What if he designs Hobgoblin glider?
Yeah.
We have a glider too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I feel
Hobgoblin
like
is basically Green Goblin, with a new skin.
Yeah. This is one of my biggest complaints, and it's not even the movie's fault. It's just kind of Sony/Marvel's fault. Why the hell at the end of Venom 2 do they have Tom Hardy get brought into the MCU in Mexico for them to just take him back out? I get why, to get the symbiote into MCU, but why the hell didn't they keep him in there, man? Does that mean someone else is going to be Venom?
Yes.
God, I fucking hate that, man. That's trash. Well, I hate that. Sony.
Sony's a fucking jackass.
That makes me hate the movie a little bit.
Fuck you, Sony. Give up your damn rights. It's Marvel.
However, I have plenty of... We don't need to go into the headlines because they're nothing crazy in hindsight. But, like, one of them is the fact that, like, there's heavy rumors that Venom and Morbius both take place in Andrew Garfield's Spider-Verse. I've seen heavy reports today that Sony is getting a lot of feedback about Andrew Garfield and awesome. That Andrew Garfield signed on to do more Spider-Man movies.
I believe it. I hope.
I had this thought when I was watching Spider-Man 2, but I don't think it came up when we were doing the run through for it. Andrew Garfield kind of seemed like he was Ben Schwartz doing an Andrew Garfield impression.
That's good. That's good.
Like, too goofy. I don't know. Just the look. They look very similar. But
I think that Andrew Garfield, this is just personally, and Toby's a lot older. Doesn't give a shit anymore. But I think Andrew Garfield understood the assignment in this movie. I think he looked like he had a ton of fun. He made jokes towards his own franchise about how his villains were lame. I think Andrew Garfield got the call to do this and was so fucking excited.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. He loved Spider-Man as a kid.
And he had always, his movies were worse than any of the Spider-Man movies, but I don't think necessarily he was bad. I think the movie surrounding him was rough. So if they continue Andrew's story and have him collide with Tom Hardy's Venom and Morbius and whatnot, then I'll be okay. But I think it's a complete bad, I think straight up a bad move on Sony's part to do a new Venom in the MCU with some, or Marvel/Sony, whatever. I think it's a bad move. I think it's I think it's tough. I think that sucks.
Something that this is only related because of villains, but when they were all at the happy condo, which I thought that was just a funny concept.
Oh yeah.
So it was Spider-Man and the five villains and J. Jonah Jameson was coming there. I thought we were going to get the dropping of like Sinister Six there with him thinking that Spider-Man is in the mix with the Sinister Six.
Ooh, that's a good thought.
I thought he was, but then it didn't happen. We just, Aunt May just died. So
that was an incredible scene with Goblin. That was so intense. Like Peter's like, what the hell's going on? I was like, what the fuck is about to happen? Oh, God. Yeah. Damn.
Willem Dafoe crushed it. And I liked the look that he ended up with when he was full Goblin, just with the like very tattered clothing. Sort of a mix of like his suit, his son's suit, and then just like a good look, which neither of them have. Martin, the comic
book look, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Willem Dafoe should be inserted into the conversation of like, hey, Heath Ledger played the Joker perfectly. I think Willem Dafoe should be thrown in this conversation of like actors that portrayed their villains masterfully.
Yeah.
This dude came back 20 years later and knocked it out of the park again.
He like also dropped the meme line. That can't be understated. He's a something of a scientist himself. People aren't talking about it.
People aren't talking about it enough. And as soon as I don't know about you, Matt, but my theater erupted with laughter when that happened.
Yeah,
because everybody knows it's such a meme. And you know damn well Willem Dafoe knows that it's a meme, and he was like, well, you know, it's such a good line.
He just put all the mustard on that line. It was great.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I think that's the real highlight here is Alfred Molina and Willem Dafoe really killed it.
They acted like off each other, also potentially in completely different rooms, TBD. During at least some of their scenes together, impressively. I like them sort of being like capital A actors going like off each other. I think it's kind of an interesting, it was an interesting moment in like superhero movies when those were the kind of actors you got to play villains.
Yeah. I feel like we've done all of our talk here on villain talk. I think Tom acted probably the best he's acted in his career so far.
I think so.
I mean, superhero movies don't get the Oscar recognition very much, but I think Tom Holland could at least get a nod. I mean, I don't think he's going to win, but like he showed great range in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't think I'd ever see Tom Holland like borderline want to kill somebody.
Or like come to tears, like as he did in the same movie and have it be consistent. Yeah, that was Wild.
I think, yeah, I mean, we haven't discussed it much, because which is so ironic, because we've spent a year and a half theorizing about Toby and Andrew, and they're in this movie, and I think for the perfect amount of time. I think a lot of us just pictured, like, hey, they're going to swing in the end and save the day.
They kind of had their own arc. I mean, I think they had, like, an arc together. Maybe not, like, each of them individually, but, like, they both. I liked the, well, we don't know how to team up angle. It's like, well, I do. Just, you know, trust your sense and trust your teammates. I thought that was really clever.
I think that was one of the best lines, too. Like, the Avengers, that's great. What is that?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Very good delivery on Toby there. And then when they're establishing who's Peter 1, Peter 2, and then Peter 3, like, like Andrew Garfield just leaning into the fact that people don't like his Spider-Man movies.
I love you guys.
And them looking at him again like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're weird, but okay.
You're our weirdo, yeah.
I think maybe borderline the best scene. I don't know if the best scene, but the scene that moved me the most is when he catches MJ and she asks him if he's okay, and he just cries. I was like, oh.
Brains out.
I think people often forget that Andrew Garfield is still one of the another one of the best actors that's around right now.
He's phenomenal. Like, he's in everything. Yeah.
So I'm happy for him that he had this opportunity to get back to Spider-Man. If we see him again in the future, I'm so game.
Sure.
I feel like there could be so much more chatter about it, but what'd you think post-credit scene, very end credit scene, trailer for Doctor Strange?
It was good. I liked, there was talk, we might have done rumors on it that Wanda was going to be the villain of Doctor Strange, but it looks like Doctor Strange is the villain of Doctor Strange from one of those last shots.
Yeah.
Guy.
Yeah, exactly. And it looked like there was a Captain Carter in it as well.
Really? I didn't catch her.
Or I mean, maybe it wasn't, but it was someone wearing, it might have been Captain Marvel. I don't know. It was a woman walking away from the camera with a star like on the back.
Oh, wow. I didn't even catch that.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to do a Google later, but yeah, I think it's strong. I mean, it's going to be a weird movie.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the other headline, was that Doctor Strange 2 just underwent major reshoots, apparently, according to Kevin Feige, to add more multiverse character elements.
We'll see.
So I saw a story on Twitter last night that said, like, sources confirmed that Deadpool is going to be in the movie. Hugh Jackman's Wolverine's going to be in the movie. Toby and Andrew are going to be in the movie.
Damn it.
And these are all cameos, though. Like, these guys aren't having pivotal roles. Like, these are straight, like, Doctor Strange opening a portal and seeing, like, Wolverine.
Chilling and then, out.
Yeah. Like, the original Fantastic Four cast. Like, there's crazy, like, Chris Evans is the Human Torch.
I was
going
to say, are we going to get a Chris Evans plot holes?
Yeah, for real. So I think the movie is going to be crazy. I don't know if it's going to get the same hype because I don't know if they can market, just like with the Toby and Andrew stuff. I don't know if they're going to use Wolverine in their marketing. I think those are going to be
Doctor
like
Doctor Strange. Yeah.
Right. I think that's just going to be more
fan service
stuff where the crowd cheers. Did you have a pretty good audience, Matt?
Oh, it was really good. Oh. Yeah. Other than the person behind me who sounded like they were actively spreading COVID the whole movie, but is hacking up a lung. We had a great crowd.
Yeah, we had a great crowd. Me and Logan did. But my second crowd, I went at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and I took my roommates. I'm like, guys, I'm pissed. This is not how you're supposed to experience this. They're just like, when Toby and Andrew came in, I was just like, are you fucking kidding?
Come on.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, dude.
I cried every time. Both times I saw Toby and Andrew come in. I didn't cry, but I was just like, you know?
Yeah, it's just one of those where you're like, this is happening.
Dude, Logan and I looked at you when he caught MJ and I was tearing up and you were just like, you went, oh.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's just one of those things. We thought this was happening the entire time. Like, we knew that these guys were in the movie, but seeing it happen,
yeah,
just just it's a whole nother thing. Same thing with Endgame. Like, we knew that the whole squad was going to take down Thanos, but seeing it happen was just the best.
Well, seeing it happen and seeing it happen in the right way.
Oh, right.
Like, they were brought in at, you know, Tom Holland had a lot to do. It was a really tough time for him, and they needed the help, so brought it in when they could get it.
I'm here with it. So then quickly, I know we brushed over it, but we could talk about it for way longer, but we're not going to. Quickly, though, we can insert it into our MCU ranking. I don't know if it's going to be much of a debate on where it goes for me, at least.
Before we do that, can we tie it in with Hawkeye? Because we did see...
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yep, we did see Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock, a blind lawyer with great reflexes.
Yeah, that's another one of the better lines in the movie, too. Like, I'm a really good lawyer. Like, good stuff. That's great.
It was wonderful. I love seeing him.
So did I. And that's where I think we might see Hawkeye... And Daredevil in the same setting, maybe not the same scene together, but I don't doubt that he might pop up. I'm not going to get my hopes up for it,
right?
But I think there's a chance.
Well, and I think they also, with the ending of the movie and Tom Holland basically becoming more of a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, losing all the Stark tech, losing all that, and just kind of going back to the police scanner. He's kind of set up to sort of tackle these more ground level issues like Kingpin and other sort of villains like that. So I think that they're kind of moving towards kind of redoing the Defenders Netflix verse that they had, just with a few different pieces.
My theory was, I think it'd just be so cool at the end of Hawkeye, like somebody looks up, see Spider-Man swing by, and then Hawkeye's like, who the hell is that?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I don't think they forget who Spider-Man is. I just think they forget who Peter Parker is.
Peter Parker no longer exists in that world, but they were still the Daily Bugle talking about how he's a menace, but they don't know who he is.
Like, a really cool concept to me is thinking about the fact that the Avengers know that Spider-Man was present, like, during all of those events in Endgame. They just don't know who he is.
Yeah.
That's how it is in a lot of the comic books, though.
Right, because in Civil War, that was a big deal when he joined Iron Man's side and revealed himself as Peter Parker as sort of like the first public, like, you know, I don't know, just joining of the state side of this is the right thing to do. So I'm going to reveal my secret identity as a show of good faith towards this thing that I believe in.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know much about comics, but I know that.
Yeah, easy. I mean, Hawkeye, with it being Christmas, I can easily see, like, you know, that ending shot of Spider-Man. He swings past the Christmas tree.
Oh, it was wonderful.
It beautiful. Perfect way for it to tie in the fact that the movie released in December, a week before Christmas. I think the movie was awesome, man. I gave it an A+. Those little gripes I had with it weren't enough for it to take away from the score. However, I am pissed about the Venom thing. Like, but again, like, that might be Sony's decision. For all we know, Kevin Feige argued that in a room for hours with Amy Pascal. But she was like, no, Venom is ours. And if you want him, you can have the symbiote. And who knows? Maybe they give the symbiote to Tom and he becomes Black Spider-Man, or Black Suit Spider-Man, rather. And maybe Tom Hardy. Good save. very important distinction, because Miles Morales does exist.
Yep.
But maybe they just, who knows, maybe Tom Hardy Venom comes into the universe again somehow him and Tom Holland fight. But if not, then I'm just curious what they do with it, man.
Yeah. Kevin Feige is going to have to come on this podcast and let us know how that all went down.
Nick, you're right. I'll call him.
Yeah. Please do. Please do. We need it
on his agenda. Yeah.
Yeah. Put it on his schedule for press release or
tour. Yeah.
Press tour for Spider-Man. Too.
I'll talk to Ames also. So
yeah, she's the one that needs the talking to, man. She's the one who gave us she's the one that gave us the amazing Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 3. So we need to have a talking to with her. But man, I That was very quick. I feel like, again, we could talk about it for hours, but we're not going to. We're not going to do that to you or to us.
Just an hour and a half.
Just an hour and a half. But
I'm going to play some ping pong.
Okay.
We got a ping pong table.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Let's just knock out our tiers first.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, you're good.
My Spider-Man No Way Home gets the top tier. It's in the Infinity Stones. It's an awesome movie. Even without, I asked my friends this, and I asked Tanner this when I got out of the movie. I think the movie is awesome even without Toby and Andrew. I think you can take them out, and it's still a great Tom story.
Yeah.
I personally enjoy it a little more than Homecoming, but I think my ranking of the trilogy is No Way Home, Homecoming, and Far From Home. Not like Far From Home's bad. I just enjoy Homecoming a lot.
Yeah.
That grounded story, especially with Michael Keaton's vulture twist, like that's just a whole, just an awesome thing. So personally, it's an Infinity Stone. I love the movie. With the exception of like a few questions I have just about the spells and shit. Like, for all we know, we're all wrong. Like, we don't know. Like,
right. Yeah.
We're not in the boardroom that's making this decision. So who knows? We'll see. Matt, where does it sit for you?
So even though I did have a lot of those same gripes, and I'm only giving it, you know, only an A, not the A+, it's still an Infinity Stone tier movie. And I think even on the scale of Spider-Man movies, it's fighting with Spider-Man 2 for the best one, of those.
No, I don't disagree at all.
So, I mean, it's, you know, groundbreaking. It was the first multiverse thing, and it works really well. I'll give Tanner exactly 3 seconds to explain where he's putting it.
The Infinity Saga. The Infinity thing. It's amazing. Done.
Yeah.
You actually wanted 3 seconds?
No, just kidding. I just didn't know you didn't need much time.
No, I don't. It goes top. It's probably the best one. Best, my favorite Marvel movie ever, probably.
I've heard a lot of people say that.
I don't like anything else. That was amazing. It was perfect.
Sure.
With my hat.
I've heard a lot of people say that it's the best MCU movie. I think that's a little strong. There's a lot of really good MCU movies.
Yeah.
That one to me.
People were compared. I think I saw my source in the streets, no, just some random person I saw on social media said, like, man, people watched Infinity War and thought, or Infinity War? Yeah. And thought, oh, there's no way they could like do that. Or Endgame, I mean, it's like, oh, there's no way they could do it again. And they topped themselves. It's like, well, let's cool it, guys. I don't know if that like topped the Endgame 20-minute monologue of every, or montage of every character they've ever had coming in to kick some ass, but it was very cool.
Yeah. I'm with you. I don't know if it's better than Endgame, but like it's as close as Endgame as we're going to get for a long time.
Agreed.
I mean, we built to Endgame over 10 years, and I guess you can argue that we built to this Spider-Man finale
over 20 years,
but I'm with you, Matt. I don't know if it's as good, but I mean, it's still like it's a killer movie, man. This is one of those movies that you got to see in theaters. Pirating it, as much as, you know, some people don't like the movies, you know, it's some people are still uncertain about going to the theaters with COVID. Mm-hmm. If you can, this is one you see in the theaters.
Yeah,
it just is.
If you're worried about COVID, just do a watch party with all your Spider-Man loving friends. You need some kind of community engagement for this movie.
You're not wrong. Seeing this with an audience definitely helps. Watching it on your own is cool. Endgame is the same way. Watching it on your own, it's awesome. But seeing it with an audience that's a passionate fan base, like, there's nothing that'll beat it.
No, that can be said for anything, but especially these couple things.
Absolutely. So, guys, that was our review and breakdown of Spider-Man No Way Home, as well as Nightmare Alley and the new Seggy, real or fake Marvel characters. I'm really excited. We can hammer that off maybe once a month or every couple months when we got maybe a little slower week. Maybe once a month is a good standard to start, and we'll just see where it goes from there.
Sure.
And yeah, we'll find ways to break it down and do it different each time, and we'll have a lot of fun with it. So yeah, guys, that's it. In terms of closing this year out, Real quickly, I think, again, next Thursday, the week after Christmas, run through for Christmas Vacation. This Thursday, run through for The Matrix, which Matt and I are going to record right after this. In terms of content, Christmas Day Encanto comes out on Disney Plus. Netflix gets Don't Look Up, that new Adam McKay film that looks really good.
Matrix 4 comes out the 22nd.
It does. So we got plenty of stuff to finish the year out. And then first of the year, we're going to put our heads together and figure out when we're going to record our favorite, our top favorites of the year.
They'll be big boys.
They are going to be big boys. I can't wait to reflect on the year. So yeah, that's it, fam. That's episode 260. We'll see you Thursday for The Matrix. Bye.
See you guys.
Tanner, you never say goodbye. Matt at least hits him with a "see you guys."
Goodbye.
We're gonna do that.
I was gonna say he does say goodbye. You just mute him.
True.
Yeah, that's right. I do say goodbye. Quit doing it. Okay.
It's not Zay. His name is Zay, though. All right, I'm into this.